Welcome to an exciting new series of the Accelerate Performance Lab podcast. I'm your host, Riley Witt, and I'm thrilled to introduce you to Athlete Breakdown. In this episode series, we'll take a closer look at the running metrics that shape our athletes' performances, from classic VO2 max to lactate threshold and recovery rates. Our goal is simple yet important: to help our athletes with actionable steps to make new heights by identifying areas for improvement and charting actionable steps to make that jump in performance. Whether you're a seasoned competitor or just starting your journey, these episodes are designed to offer practical advice that you can incorporate into your training regimen. So get ready to dive into the world of running metrics, science, and transformation. Join us on this journey as we unlock the secrets to reaching peak performance, one metric at a time. Well, Colin Haug, welcome to the Accelerate Performance Lab podcast. People should know you by now with a couple state titles under your name, and hopefully a few more before you graduate. But if someone was to ask you for a little snippet, who is Colin Haug?
First off, I'm a student athlete. I love to run. I'm very passionate about running. It's something that I've been doing for a long time. But I'd say, yeah, I'm a believer. My faith is really big. Big aspect of my life. Oh yeah, athlete and then student. So just balancing that, that's a lot. But yeah, I love to just community. Community's awesome. I love to just pour into people and just have good conversations, meet new people. So
beautiful. I've spent a lot of time with Haugs over the years. You know, Carson was in my grade, so I spent some time at your place. I actually slept in your bed at one point when I missed a flight to where was I going? Ohio.
I probably didn't even know you slept in my bed. That's news to me.
Your grandma cooked me like pasta or something, and I slept in your bed. So I'm basically one of the Haugs. So I've never met like a more selfless family that actually wants to see other people succeed and wants to like give their best to other people. So I love that. Before we get into the running piece, you said student athlete. Student, you're about to make a big decision to go to a college. I'm not going to ask what college you want to go to yet.
All right.
I'll leave that for you. But do you have any idea what you want to pursue academic-wise?
I'm kind of leaning towards just business, finance kind of area. My dad's actually a certified financial planner. So just kind of following his footsteps. I mean, I like people and I like to work with people. So if you like to work with numbers, people, kind of leads to business finance. So we'll see, but not quite sure yet.
Isn't that the same thing that Carson's doing?
Yes, he's in that kind of area, but he's doing his minor's different. But I actually don't know his minor. I get asked this question all the time, and I don't know.
So you've chose the same sport as your brother. You are choosing a similar major as your brother, and you guys have basically just mirrored each other in movement. When you were in high school, some would say you were overshadowed a little bit by Carson those first couple of years, which is, rightfully so. Like, running is one of those sports where, you know, with each birthday, you get a little bit faster and faster. How did you deal with that? Always kind of being like, oh, you are Carson's brother. You weren't your own person.
Kind of freshman, sophomore year, just kind of being referred to Carson's brother. You know, I was really close with the Accelerate boys, you, Hayden, Jackson. I mean, I'd see you guys around. It's like, oh, there's Carson's brother. Joke around. But yeah, I mean, I didn't take it too seriously. But yeah, I like to be the underdog and I like to be in the shadow so then you can have your moment. And yeah, I guess just kind of break out, have your moment, work in the shadow. I don't know.
I said to Ben after Carson graduated, I was like, this is going to be Colin's year. I figured you just didn't have the spotlight. You had a little bit of pressure, probably not intentional pressure at all, but you were just feeling maybe a little bit of pressure to live up to what your brother was achieving. And once he graduated, I was like, okay, now watch Colin. He's going to go. And I remember you absolutely popped off in a 3200. I don't remember your time exactly, but you PR'd massively for like an indoor time. Like, okay, look, my prediction is coming true. Yeah. But do you think that was part of it? Obviously, the pressure, like we said, you have a great family and Carson would never put pressure on you, but it might be a little unspoken, like, oh, why aren't you this good? You know, do you think that was part of it?
Yeah, I mean, I had to live up to what he did. You know, he's a four-time state champion. So I mean, just living up to that alone, you know, when you go to meets, it's like, oh, Carson Haug in the house, you know, and just hearing that alone, you're like, yeah, I got to do something. I got to live up to the family name. You know what I mean? Yeah, that gave me a little bit of strength and momentum to just get going.
Yeah. I'd like to see by the time this year's over and you're going headed off to college that you've taken four and, you know, turned that into a five or something. You've beaten Carson's record for state titles. That'd be kind of cool. Is that something on your radar and your goal list?
I guess so. What I really want is that 1600 record, because I was 0.2 of a second off the record this year. So that hurt a little bit, but I mean, it was an amazing race. There's not much I could ask for.
So let's talk about your start to running. Like I said, Carson was probably a big influence on that. And so I know your dad is big into like triathlons and he was a runner as well. So how'd you start and how'd you get into this sport?
So Carson did Johnston Run Club and then he did DCG Run Club. He kind of was in that system, you know, just when he was in middle school. But I think it was just Carson had a meet at Valley Southwoods. It was just this random like Friday. And my dad's like, hey, Colin, do you want to join this meet? Do you want to try to run? Like, you haven't ran yet. What's your sport? And I'm like, I guess I'll give it a shot. I mean, I think I was like a fifth or sixth grader. I don't remember the best about my early days of running, but so yeah, I put on a Dowling jersey because that's where Carson was running. And so I just ran that meet and I did very well. And I was like, maybe I'll like this. Maybe I'll pick up this sport. Cause I did soccer when I was younger and I did basketball. I did baseball. I kind of tried out all those sports, but yeah, from there on, I did some running clubs. I did like Winter Warriors, Summer Warriors. It was just like Ironworks. That kind of got me started. So definitely Carson, though. He had a big impact on my running career.
So when did you decide to like single out and just run?
Freshman year, I did basketball. And I was just like, you know, I was on JV. I wasn't the best. So coming off the bench, I was just like, after freshman year, I was like, am I going to take this seriously? So I kind of thought to myself and I quit basketball, didn't do it sophomore year. So that's kind of the next step. And I was like, now this winter, I'm going to train and I'm going to have a great track season. That was my mindset. So yeah.
You decide to go all in on this sport your sophomore year and you decide like running is your thing and now you're going to go all in on it. Was Accelerate in that picture already or when did Ben come into the picture?
Carson was connected with kind of the first Accelerate group kind of you. I mean, you were in that group, so you would know. Were you guys sophomores?
It would be early junior year, okay. I think.
Early junior.
Right after COVID.
I did a little bit of Ben stuff sophomore year, but I didn't really take it seriously. When I really started to take it seriously was the winter of my junior year. So after cross country, my junior year, that winter, I was like, I'm sick of being average. I really want to work with Ben and just get things figured out. Yeah, Ben really just helped me that winter going to Speed Lab. Because I did Speed Lab as a sophomore and I had fun. But yeah, again, I'm fine with being average. I'm fine with, you know, just doing all right, not taking it very seriously. But yeah, junior year, Ben definitely was like, do you want to do this? Like actually or what? So yeah.
And then walk us through that year. What happened after that, after you took it seriously?
Junior year of cross country, it didn't go the best for me. I didn't feel very fit. I wasn't struggling with any injuries. There was something that wasn't clicking. So I think I ran 16:46 at NXR that year. And I was just like, I'm not running the best times. I wasn't happy with myself. I wasn't satisfied. So then winter kind of just put my head down, going to those Wednesday tempos. Those were killer. And I just really just was getting fit and I gained some confidence and I just felt like myself. And then track season, obviously, that you and I meet was just kind of like, wow, I like this sport. Like, because I think I ran 9:36 and my PR before that was like 10:10. So like, I was like, okay, Ben's training's legit and it's working. So that's kind of how things went.
So before we get into the data piece, I want to hear about your summer training or lack thereof and you know how that went and where you're at right now for fitness wise.
Yes. So this summer, I kind of struggled with some adversity. I actually had an IT band injury. Didn't want to go away. So 4th of July race, I did the Urbandale 5K. I'm not sure the time, but it was a PR. It was a PR for a 5K. I was happy with that, and then just kind of kept training. I went to a Wisconsin camp with my team. That did not go well. My legs felt terrible. I could feel the injury coming on. Just kind of the IT band at the point, like towards my knee, it was running down, and just at that point, it just hurt over the right next to my knee. So I went to physical therapy, was just doing stretches and exercises like crazy, like a madman. Just still wouldn't go away, just hurting on runs. So my summer, actually, I didn't even really hit 40 miles. I was like 35, skipping workouts, doing the lift. So I wasn't happy with this summer. And my training now, I'm definitely getting back into it. The injury has been good. I got over that hump of just couldn't figure things out. Definitely that it's getting better. Yeah, I've been hitting hard workouts. I mean, we can dive into some workouts if that's part of your agenda today, but yeah, that's where
Yeah.
I'm at now.
No, absolutely. So you've had some adversity, as you said, and I think that's a good
Yes,
way of putting
definitely.
it. But you didn't give up. You're like, okay, let's figure this out. Let's get healthy and then let's hit some workouts. So time is not your friend at this moment. You only got a couple weeks left of the season and training just hasn't been there. So your fitness is, lagging a little bit. But you've been running pretty well. Let's look at how that's maybe possible with like no training. You've had training as a so you've been training with Ben in, with permission from your coach. You've figured this out. You're training at the lab on the treadmill, like super precisely. I want to talk about what are some of the workouts you've done at the lab with Ben.
Yes. So first off, Ben's given me the privilege, me and Caleb and I, to work with him on the treadmills. It's amazing. So yeah, some of the workouts, we did a lot of 8x Ks recently, finding that sweet spot where kind of at 5:10, we figured out that my lactate threshold, kind of where that was. And that's just a vital part to training, definitely for workouts. So border between low and high intensity work, that's how my lactate threshold, we kind of found that sweet spot for those 8x Ks. So, and then we look at the lactate numbers and keeping it below four.
Yeah, no, exactly. So the reason we're doing that, or I was talking with Ben a little bit before this, and I saw some lactate data, and you can share some of that, but getting some K work, and this is all sub T. So you're trying to keep it below around 4 millimoles, which you found is that MLSS, your maximum lactate steady state, where you're combusting more or just about as much as you're producing. So you're staying right around that three to three-ish range, 2.5 to three-ish range. So you were doing these at 5:10 pace. What were the millimoles of lactate for these Ks?
Started out 2.6, going all the way up to 3.7, but yeah, 2.6, 3.7, 3.0, 3.6, kind of clicking in that range, 3.0, 2.6, 3.1, 3.6, staying
For people who
consistent.
don't have like a lactate monitor, what does this feel like?
Yeah, funny thing is, it's only like a five or a six, which is it's surprising, but that's kind of part of how this training is an advantage. It works, it's good. So yeah, we found that sweet spot, and it's not the most effort. Caleb definitely agrees with me. We're walking out and he's like, yeah, that was like a 4 out of 10 effort. And I'm like, sweet.
Yeah, and then the next day you wake up and you're feeling just as fresh. You go out in your easy run, you're like, I could almost do that workout again. Like that was so easy. So how often are you doing workouts like that?
Yeah, so we're trying to do 2 times a week, getting a qual some quality work in, 2 times a week on the treadmills. So it's amazing that Ben's giving us this opportunity to just kind of go to the next level and kind of catch up, because me and Caleb didn't have the best summer. I don't want to speak for him, but that's a whole different thing. But yeah, we both struggled with some injuries. So yeah, Ben's like, you guys are behind, let's catch up. So working in the lab.
Yeah, I mean, this would be great to see what would happen if you were able to do this all season long and all summer long and have a good block of training. But that's not what's happening right now. And we're kind of just playing the catch-up game and optimizing every aspect in that workout so we can get the best benefit from it. So we're trying to raise that aerobic threshold, and we're trying to push that faster and faster. So when you're running a race at, you know, if you're trying to break 16, 508 pace, so you're running these at 510 for Ks, we're trying to push that faster and faster. So you're below threshold for the majority of the 5K, which, you know, with on grass, with hills, that's not actually going to happen, but you're going to be producing a little bit less and you're going to be clearing a little bit more. So, you know, at that 2.6 to 3.7 range, you're right around that perfect. So the benefits of doing this on a treadmill is, like, sure, you do this with your team, you're doing it on grass, you can probably, once you find your threshold, you can do these reps at 5:10 pace on a track or grass or whatever. But the problem is there's hills, there's heat, your threshold's going to change from day to day depending on how you slept, how you ate. It's just going to not be super precise. But with constant measuring, zero incline change and zero wind, zero weather like differences, you're able to precisely pick and choose what pace. And like changing it even like a tenth of a mile per hour is going to make a big difference on lactate data. I'm sure if like Ben would have accidentally hit the up button on the treadmill for one of the reps, your millimoles would have went from 3.7 to 6.7 within, you know, the 3 minutes you were running these Ks. So that's going from working on your threshold to working on lactate production and moving your anaerobic capacity higher and higher, which is exactly not what we want to do. And that's actually going to make you worse instead of better. And you might as well have just sat on the couch that day or did an easy run because you got worse instead of just maintained fitness. So 8x K, you were able to get 5 miles of work in at 5:10, which is sub threshold for you. And what are you at for weekly mileage right now?
Last week I was at 44 because we had two big workouts and a race, just kind of doing what I can do for miles, taking my easy days easy. But yeah, I went all the way up to 55 once I get healthy, staying in the 40s now. So
roughly 45 miles a week to 50. So at 45 miles a week, if you're going off of the 20% rule for threshold, that's only 9 miles worth of threshold work. So in that one workout, you're getting 5 miles of threshold, right? So you only need 4 more miles for the rest of the week. And you, like, you're at that sweet spot of 20% to keep you healthy stuff. But because we're keeping it right at threshold, we can probably get closer to 25% because that 20% rule, there's some buffer room for people who don't actually hit threshold and they're going a little bit faster. So 8x K is a sweet spot workout that you've done a couple times. Now, what are some other ones? What is a different workout that you've done with Ben?
Today I had a good workout, but I will talk about one we did on September 18th. It was kind of interesting. It was 4x mile with a 4 minute jog recovery, 1% incline, obviously, on the treadmill. And Ben just wanted to push my limits on this one. We went 458, 449, 444, and then 434. And my lactate was 7 for the first one, 9.6, 10.4, then all the way up to 13.2.
Was it hurting on that last one?
Okay. I was hurting. Ben had to keep me upright. He was making sure I don't fall off the back of the treadmill. But that was probably one of my best workouts recently.
Yeah, no, that's a legit workout. For that, what it sounds like is you were getting the millimoles up pretty high. I don't know what your tolerance is.
Yeah.
Do you remember what your tolerance is the last time you tested?
I actually don't. Okay. But yeah, that test is, it's pretty old. I need to get in and test. But yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah. So your tolerance is probably around like 14, 15 ish. And so you were doing these workouts, you were getting up to 13.2. It's probably more so a VO2 type stimulus. You're trying to work on your aerobic capacity and work on some maximum tolerance. You know, when you're running a 5K, your millimoles of lactate shouldn't get up too high until your final sprint. But if you're able to take that final sprint and move it from 200 meters to 400 meters because you raise your tolerance up a little bit, that's going to make a big difference. That could be the difference of like 7 seconds in a race. So you're working on VO2 max in that workout. So, you know, some quicker stuff. You're moving your legs a little bit. You're working on the musculoskeletal system a little bit. And your tolerance, you're raising that tolerance up and up and up a little bit. obviously a little bit different stimulus than the sub threshold work. So it'll give your body a little bit of break because you're working on a different system. And if we're looking at like the Norwegian model, that would be like the zone three type work that they sprinkle in the late season. Like we said, if we had 16 weeks to work with you, if we had 30 weeks to work with you to train all summer long and up to this cross country season, we'd probably be doing all threshold work because we have got plenty of time to work on it. It's going to keep you healthy. It's going to keep you safe. And like our best bang for our buck for when we have a long time to work with you. But unfortunately, like I said, time is not on our side. So we've got to mix in some different things. Yep. And this is one of those that we mixed in. So you ran 4x mile at just sub 5.4.
All the way down to 4:34.
All the way down to 4:34. So like, that's a legit workout. I bet you were walking out after that one and being like, okay, maybe that was a little, that was more than a 5 out of 10 effort. What would you say that one was?
Yep. I think I got up to like 9. Like I have a video. He takes, it's kind of funny. We get a video of each workout and I was dying. I was like, cause at the end of the last mile, he was pushing up. He's like, all right, let's keep going like 4:30, 4:20. And I'm like, dude, oh my. Yeah. He was making it harder on me, but it was for the best though. So
yeah. That's good for you. And it's showing. Like you had a good race this weekend. Obviously the heat with conversion, you can take anywhere from, you know, 15 seconds per mile off because it was hot. I was running around it. I haven't sweat that much in a while, but yeah, go for it.
It was one of my best workouts I've ever done actually. So Ben gave me, it was on the track, no lactate because Ben's out this week. But I did 5x mile with 90 second jog recovery. And I went 5:15, 5:15, 5:13, 5:12, and then 5:02. And my legs just felt amazing. Like they felt like I didn't even feel like there was any lactic acid flooding my legs. So I just found that sweet spot once again. And yeah, I felt amazing.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's basically like your 8x K work. You're getting the same amount of volume. It's just you're a little bit more fit now. You're progressing a little bit. I think you're in a good spot. Of course, we'd like to see some like a longer block of training up to state cross and whatever, but you're in a good spot. Good competition in 2A this year, but I hope that you're able to, you know, come around and peak up right to the right moment. And I think you can do some special things at state cross for sure. Going to races. How was this meet last weekend at Warburg?
It was great. Everything, I think I executed my game plan just perfectly. I really was excited because there's just a lot. It's a competitive meet. Lots of guys there from different schools, bigger schools that I don't see. I see them once a year. So I was like, let's take advantage of this. Yeah, just kind of, I was mentally in it, just thinking before the race, I got to use it as an opportunity. Because when you're in 2A, you don't see these guys at many meets. So competition was a big aspect. Mentally, I felt like I did really well staying just locked in that mindset, in that zone to just achieve what I wanted to achieve that race. And one thing that I noticed was I'm not the best at running tangents. And I noticed all these fast guys just really getting close to the tangents, close to the corners. So I tried my best for that. And who knows, maybe it helped. But overall, it was good. Hot out there. But yeah, I ran 16:25, which is a PR. So,
I mean, it's a PR with that heat. I would say that's almost equivalent to like a 16:00 or even faster than that, to be honest. Depending on what calculator you're looking at, could be sub 16. Like that was a very quick time. Obviously, a fast course. Like it's super flat. But if you're looking at comparing times from last year to this year, even with the same people, they're all so much slower just because it was like 93 degrees when you guys were running with like zero breeze. It was brutal. It was brutal. So where are you at next?
So we are at Sado this Thursday and it's a fast one. So I'm ready to rip it. Weather is going to be good. So yeah, that's where Aaron set his school record. So we know it's fast. Not very competitive, but we know it's fast. Yeah.
Not so competitive. What did Aaron run there?
If he listens to this, he's gonna be like, how did you not know? It's like 15:30. He has a school record, so all right, like in the 15:30s.
Yeah, go out and get that. Take that from him.
He's a stud, though.
Doing well at Drake now. I haven't been
Yeah.
keeping up with the results, but
I'm
you're doing
sure
well.
Caleb and I have been on our minds a little bit, so we'll see.
Yeah, with some good weather, obviously competitions is not there, but you guys can work
Yeah.
together and move up as a pack. So that'll
Yeah,
be helpful.
definitely.
So when we're looking at end of the season here, we're coming up to our time. At the beginning of the season, you write down your goal list and you're like, okay, have consistent training, stay injury free. And if I do all these little things, yeah, I do all these little steps, good diet, good sleep, blah, blah, blah. This is what I want to accomplish. I want to run 15:20. I want to run 15:50. I want another state title. But once you take out those little steps that you weren't able to accomplish, and not because of lack of discipline or anything, you just weren't able to. That was just the cards you were dealt this year. How do you change your goals looking at that? And what are you thinking towards the end of the season?
Changing my goals a little bit. I often get so focused on times, but times in cross country aren't really relevant in today's like running culture. So can't get caught up on times because every course is different. You got weather, you got how many hills the course has got, you got footing. So I can't really focus on times that much, but I'm eyeing state. So I really want that team title individually. I mean, I'm confident. We'll see how it goes. I'm not going to speak too soon.
Last
Sweet.
thing before we end, if you were to give young Colin Haug beginning starting running a piece of advice, what would you say?
I would just say, don't take the sport too seriously. Sometimes you realize you're taking it too seriously and you're not having fun. You got to have fun with the sport. I really am passionate about it every day. Some days you look forward to running, some days you don't. But I would just tell myself, don't take it too seriously, but definitely be competitive and have lots of fun out there. Make some buddies. So, yeah.
I love your attitude towards this. You've had some tough ups and downs, especially this year, lots of downs, but your attitude is going to be what propels you and gets you, takes you to that next level. So I'm excited to see what happens to the end of this year and to the track season and beyond. So best of luck this season, Colin, and thanks so much
Yes.
for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
I really enjoyed talking with people like Colin. His attitude and demeanor towards the sport and just humble way of talking is so refreshing. I'd keep this kid on your radar in a few weeks when we go down to Fort Dodge. I know he hasn't really had a traditional training buildup, but his mindset attitude is enough for me to place my bets. Thanks again, Colin, for hopping on the show. If you guys enjoyed this episode or any of our other episodes, make sure to, as always, leave a review on iTunes or Spotify. Go over to Instagram, drop a follow, and leave some comments on what you want to hear next. I always love hearing your questions and comments, and it really helps guide the direction of this podcast. So I'll see you guys over there, and thanks for listening to the Accelerate Performance Side Podcast.